The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors was locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Who sends you forgive are forgiven them, and who sends you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As we gather this morning as church, we are ever mindful of the presence of God that dwells within us. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
God is with us, and he is with his church.
Amen.
And scripture reminds us that he is going to be with us always until the end of time.
Amen.
He also reminds us that hell will not prevail against his church.
Amen.
Yes. And that is, and when we talk about the church, who are the church? We are the church. We are the body of Christ. And today the church celebrates Pentecost.
Amen.
And in the wisdom of the church, we know Easter is for how long?
40.
I'm getting two numbers. Do not confuse me, church.
Yes.
Easter is for how long?
50.
I'm a little frightened now. One more time. All who say 50, raise your hand. All who say 50, raise your hand. Simone, are you sure? Mary, I put your hand and finger. Okay, 50 is right. Give them a round of applause. So Easter is for 50 days. Don't forget that now. I'll ask you next year. God spares life. 50 days. How many days is in Lent?
40.
You got that. So 40 days. I love it. Because, you know, Lent is a difficult time. Time of picking up your cross and following in the footsteps of Jesus. And so for 40 days, you enter into the passion of this man called Jesus. It wasn't a pleasant journey. It was very, very painful, excruciating pain Jesus went through. But as Jesus was going through, he was thinking about Easter Sunday morning.
Amen, yes.
And so that every painful experience we will go through, Jeremy, there is an Easter Sunday morning.
Yes, yes.
And so that's why we can say to our children, when they are going through difficulties in their studies, when they are going through difficulties with their health, when they are going through difficulties in their relationship, this too shall pass.
Yes.
Better days are coming.
Yes.
Your
yes.
Easter is coming
yes.
soon.
Yes. Yes.
And so the church in the wisdom reminds us that the glory and the joy and the happiness outweighs, Sister Helena, the suffering that we will go through in this life.
Yes.
Yes, I love it. I love it. I love it. So we are an Easter people.
Yes.
So when you get up this morning, and I know you're smiling behind the mask because I can see it in your eyes. You're smiling through your eyes. Every morning we get up, despite we are living in this pandemic, and I know life can be burdensome, but we remind ourselves we are an Easter people.
Yes, amen.
We are a glorious people. We are a resurrected people.
Yes.
We are the church. We are the people of God.
Yes.
Give me some music.
Yes.
I know my bishop will call me soon. But I love it because we are an Easter people,
yes.
A glorious people.
Hallelujah.
So despite whatever we are going through, we need to remind ourselves this too shall pass.
Amen.
What I find very interesting though, that we can talk about God the Father. We are familiar. When we read the book of Genesis, it says, at the very beginning of time, when the earth was a formless void, the Holy Spirit hovered over the earth and then rested. I love it. We see in the gospel when Jesus instructed his disciples to stay into Jerusalem and to pray. Now, the very first novena, when people ask you as Catholics, why do you all pray novena? This is why we pray novenas. Because the very first novena that was ever prayed was prayed under the instruction of Jesus when he said to his disciples, stay in Jerusalem and to pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Give me some more music again. Oh, church alive. Church alive. That is church.
Amen.
Oh God, if we could capture it. Oh God, if we could believe this morning, we will change the face of the earth.
Yes.
And they prayed. Sometimes we get tired, I know. We get tired of praying, Lord, are you there? Lord, are you hearing my prayer? And you want to give up. Don't give up.
Yes.
Don't give up. Prayer is what brings us into the presence of God.
Yes.
Prayer is the key that opens every door.
Yes.
Don't give up. I want to encourage you this morning. Don't give up.
Yes.
Whatever you are going through, don't give up.
Yes.
Hold on. Persevere.
Yes.
Better days are coming.
Yes.
Scripture reminds us that weeping endures for a night, but joy comes
in the
dawn.
Yes.
Joy will always come in the morning. And if not this morning, it will be tomorrow morning.
Amen.
Hang in there. Don't give up. Keep persevering.
Amen, amen.
Church,
amen.
God loves us.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
And we need to be reminded of that. Mm-hmm. And after they prayed and they prayed for 1 day and 2 day and 3 day and 4 day and 5 day and 6 day, remember Peter and the others, they betrayed Christ. Peter is afraid. He's afraid to come out because he's afraid of crucifixion. After they prayed, and I love, they're not just praying alone, you know, but they are praying with a woman.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen.
The woman is Mary.
Yes.
From the cross, Jesus gave to us, his church, his mother. I love Jesus. I love him. He shares what he has with us. So he gave John. John represented the church at the cross. Take my mother as your mother. Jesus is sharing, you know. I love him. He does share. And so she is with them and they are praying, and then the Holy Spirit came and hovered over them. I love it. Just like creation, it hovered. He hovered over the apostles with his mother. He hovered over them. Scripture says, as a mighty wind. Scripture says, as tongues of fire, and rested on them. Rested on them. Rested on them. Rested on them. What happened when the Holy Spirit rested on them? Tell me, church. Transformation began. You remember Peter, who was afraid of a shadow. Peter, who was a coward. Peter now He's a man. He's strong. He's a... You have an S on his chest. Super, super Buddha. And the S is not just... The S is for Holy Spirit. The next time you see an S on the chest, it is for Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, yes. The Spirit of God is moving. And it is the Spirit of God that transforms our lives. It is the Spirit of God that gives us strength to face the darkness. It is the Spirit of God that empowers us in 2021 to live a victorious life in the midst of a pandemic.
Yes,
it
amen,
is
the same
Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
That Peter now is moving and he's coming out from the dark. He's moving from behind locked doors. And he's telling people that Jesus is the answer. And salvation can only come through Jesus. Jesus is the way maker.
Yes.
Oh, he's going into the temple. He's going into church. The first priest to go into church. He's going anointed. He's going empowered. How did you step into church this morning? Are you burdened down? Are you worried? Are you still concerned about bills? Are you concerned about your husband? Are you concerned about where your children are going to be educated? Or are you going into church empowered this morning? But well, I trust if you came in so, you will leave empowered. Amen?
Amen, yes.
Yes, leave empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when Peter is going, where is Cindy? Cindy! 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 Hear me? Smithy is my great sacristan. He and I just have this little battle every now and again. So, Smithy, Peter is going to the temple. And while he's going, Smithy, to the temple, who is sitting at the temple's gate, Smithy?
An old crippled man.
Say it louder, Smithy.
An old crippled man.
And then he's an old crippled man. He's a miserable crippled man, Smithy. He's miserable. And the miserable crippled man, Smithy, turned to Peter, and he was doing what? He was begging. He was begging. He was a greenie, like a charisma, like a Shaniqua on the street. He's begging. He's in Peter's face. And what Peter said to the crippled man, please stand and say, because I know they know it. That's right.
Even though that I have not, but God
bless me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Peter said, silver and gold have I not, but what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk. Oh, I love it. What I have, I give to you. I don't have money. I don't have house. I don't have land. I don't have wife. I don't have children. But what I have Jesus. And I will give Jesus to you. I love it. And what happened after that city? The crippled man stayed down there. He got up and walked.
Yes.
Catholics, get a life.
Yes.
Catholics, get a life. I am so serious this morning. Get a life. I don't know about you, but I was coming through the airport yesterday. And so one of my young people from this parish who was just so busy with work, he saw me, he said, Father, and he's there. And I said to him, when are you coming back to church? He said, Father, you see how work is, and he is with the National Guard. And I turned to him, I said, listen, son, Jesus is coming soon.
Yes.
What's happening in the world today, we realize that it is speeding the return of Christ. Put your house in order. Get ready, because Jesus is coming soon. is coming soon. And so we need to do, church, what is necessary. What is necessary? So gone are the days where Catholics go around with no knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit. So we as Catholics, I don't know how we are not getting it, because what the church teaches and what the church professes, we should know the third person of the Blessed Trinity. We can talk about God the Father as creator. We are comfortable talking as God the Son, as Redeemer. But the Holy Spirit, we seem to be unaware of who this third person is. But we really shouldn't be, because the first time we receive the Holy Spirit is when?
Baptism.
At baptism. That's right. At baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit. At baptism, there are two types of sins that are washed away. Original sin and personal sin. Baptism makes us children of God. Did you hear that? Children of God. You know, as a parent, when you have children, you say to them, listen, when you are on the street, you represent who? You represent me. So conduct yourself in a proper way, because if you bring embarrassment, you bring embarrassment to me. Watch the way you dress, because you represent me. Watch the way you behave, because you represent me. And if you live a disgraceful life, you will bring shame to whom? Shame to me. As a parent, you talk that in a human form. Now, if you are children of God, it means that you represent whom?
God.
You represent whom?
God.
You represent whom?
God.
Someone came to me recently and said, I would like to be a godparent. And I said, okay, one of the requirements of being a godparent is what? You've got to be going to church. Because the godparent represents whom?
God.
Represent God. That's why it's godparent, godfather, godmother. You cannot give what you do not have. Because you stand in the presence of God and in the presence of God's minister, and you said, I promise to help these parents to bring up the child in what?
In the ways of God.
Lie, 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 lie. You're lying. Because after baptism, you go on to live your own way. You don't even know when's the child birthday. But you stand before God, and that's why I say to God, parents, be careful what you say. If you're not ready to make that promise, do not make it. Because God is going to hold you accountable on Judgment Day. God will show you on his flat screen. You remember 2021 when you were at Our Lady of Mount Carmel and when you made that promise? And that's why we have to be careful as to what we say and as to what we promise. And it's so important for us to pay attention as to how we live, how our children live, how we treat others, how we behave, because God is watching us.
Amen.
From a distance, no, he's very close. He is watching us. And so that is why it is so important for us to pray to the Holy Spirit. So at baptism, as Catholics, we receive the Holy Spirit. After baptism, what happens? What is the next sacrament? Confirmation? First communion? Penance, that's right. So we go into that little room there that is called the confessional. Now, I tell people, as a priest, whenever I hear the door open, or whenever someone approaches me and say, Father, I need to go to confession, I always smile. The reason why I am smiling, I know it is not just on this person's own strength are they able to go to confession, but it is through the power of God's Holy Spirit. So I say to the penitent, you see, it is the Holy Spirit at work in your heart. Put the desire in your heart to recognize your need for God. So I just traveled, went to look for Deacon Peter, and from there I flew to Maryland, had an appointment, and then from there I went to the Basilica in Washington, D.C. So I found out when confession was. I said, you know what, I need to go to confession, let me go to confession. So the goodly deacon here on my left told me what time confession in the Basilica was at. So I called up my Uber and I went. But the traffic in DC was so difficult that 11 o'clock came and I was still in the Uber, and 5 past 11 and I'm still there. And so I got there a little after 11, like 10, 12, 12 minutes after 11. So I got in there, of course, the security is here and asked me why I'm here. I said, I'm here to go to confession. He said, but confession is over. I said, show me where, or direct me in the area where confession was held. And he kind of looked at me strange and he said, inside there. And so I went in, and for those of you who have been to the Basilica, it's just breathtaking. Just to walk in is just breathtaking. So I walked into the main church and I'm going in, and I saw this little old priest coming. And he's walking, trying to walk fast, but I'm walking faster to him. And I said, Father, will you hear my confession? I'm saying, I wonder if he's a father or if he's a deacon. But I said, Father, will you hear my confession? And he said, you are late. Confession is over. And I said, Father, will you please hear my confession? And he looked at me like in disgust. Come. I humbly went in his direction, and he sat down in one of the chapels, and he said this to me that really made me forgive him immediately for his hostile behavior up front. And he said to me, welcome, welcome. I went to confession, and then I left confession, and I went to light candles for my parish family, for my deacon and their wives, for my family, and for Miss Martha Cherry Rosemary. So I lit these four candles, and I'm there praying, and there's this beautiful statue of Our Blessed Mother. And I found myself as I was walking just to be there and to pray. And as I sat on the chair, there was a single chair in front of the statue. And I sat on it, and I was praying. And then I heard, sir, sir. And so when I looked, it was security again. And the security said, sir, only a priest can sit on that chair. So I took a deep breath, and I called on the Holy Spirit. I called on the Holy Spirit, and I said, but how do you know that I'm not a priest? And he said, well, if you were a priest, you would have been wearing this thing. And I said, a collar, you're saying, a collar. I said, I am a priest. Now, if my eldest sister will hear that, she would say, I keep telling you, you need to wear your collar wherever you're going. And she would scold me. But I'm saying that to say that I don't wear my collar everywhere I go. And there's a reason. Because this collar sometimes gives you or puts you in a place where you get really good treatment. But it shouldn't be because of a collar, church. It should be the way we should treat every person. Not because they are a priest, or because they are a deacon, or I'm wearing my collar so I will get great treatment. No! We should treat every human being in the correct way. Treat them with love. And that is important for all of us to hear this morning, and for all of us, priests and people, to reflect on. How do I treat others? How do I speak to them? People always remember this, how you make them feel. Be careful. Jesus is looking, and Jesus is paying attention. Don't do to others as you would like them to do unto you. The golden rule, treat others as you would like to be treated. I tell people this, you don't see me treating people badly because I don't want to be treated badly myself. Or I will not disrespect you as a human person, so therefore you will not disrespect me. Or I will not engage you in you disrespecting me. Why? Why am I saying that? Because I know who I am. Not because of my color, because I am a child of God, purchased by the blood and the scars of Jesus. And that is for all and every baptized soul. At confirmation, we receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but something is wrong with our confirmation programs. Because it is for too long, confirmation comes like graduation for a lot of our young people. But confirmation is supposed to be a Pentecost experience. Not our young people turning their backs on God or turning their backs on church or living their lives however they want and not living as a disciple of Christ. We have to pay attention on that. And as the bishops and as the priests, we need to sit down and ask a deeper question, engage in the conversation. Why our confirmation programs are not touching the lives of our young people? Why transformation is not taking place? Why they are not experiencing renewal in their hearts, in their lifestyles? Why that transformation isn't taking place? It's a question that we need to ask. As parents, maybe you need to ask yourself that deeper question, why aren't your children in church? You see, we live double lives. Young people keep it real. If they are not living right, they can't play that game. So they stay away. But we live the double lives. And sometimes we leave them confused because we say one thing and we behave in a totally different to what we say. And you see, it is the power of the Holy Spirit that transforms our lives so that we will practice what we preach. We will live what we say. It won't just be Sunday morning, but it will be how I live 24/7, 7 days a week. And how many days in a month? Every month. That it doesn't mean that you're not going to sin. It doesn't mean that you're not going to fall. But when you hurt someone, you say what? I'm sorry. Don't be too proud to say that I'm sorry. If you hurt someone's feeling, say I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you. And you keep it moving. Keep it moving. Do not be distracted. Do not let people drain your energy either. There are some people are not meant to be in our lives.
Yes, amen.
They were never meant to be in our lives. We open doors and allow people to come in that shouldn't be in. And that is why we need to pray for the gift of discernment. I tell people, in this time, we need all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of wisdom. And wisdom is asking God to give me the grace so that I will despise the perishable things of this world and aspire after what is holy and what is eternal. That as Brennan would say to his grandmother, this world is not my home. Jabris, right? I'm just passing through. That the men and the women who are wise understand we are in transit. This is not our final destination. We are just passing through Earth for a time shorter for some of us than we think. The men and women who are wise understands that. The men and women who are wise in the midst, Mary, of Irma, can say, the Lord give it and the Lord take it. Blessed be his name. The men and women who are wise don't hold on to material things and make that their God. The men and women who are wise aspire for God and for the things that are eternal. Solomon prayed for wisdom. He prayed for wisdom so that he'll be a wise king and that he will judge the people rightly. We need to pray and ask God to release in us, especially parents, to release in us the gift of wisdom so that we will be wise. The other gift that we need to pray for is for the gift of understanding, to enlighten our minds with the light of divine truth. And it is raining again.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All we need it. All we need the rain. The rain is coming down. It's coming down. We need to be able to understand what is truth and what is lies. In a world where there is so much counterfeit, the devil is trying to deceive God's people. So I went in the gift shop and I was looking through the books, and there was a book that says how to answer Jehovah Witnesses when they turn up at your door, and I laughed. You know, we run from them, we avoid them. I'm not home. When it's time for us to open our doors, Catholics, it is time for us to know our faith, Catholics. It is time for us to know what the truth is and to speak it to them. In the name of Jesus, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, know your faith, Catholics. When people come with lies, as they do, what you're saying is not true. And you tell them what the truth is. Jesus wasn't a God, he was God. Tell me, you know, one sister once said, she said, when a Jehovah Witness comes to you, tell them, listen, you are programmed, put that book down, tell me what the Lord has done for you. They don't know, all right? So you know the truth, the gift of understanding to enlighten our minds, that we will know the truth about the Eucharist, that we will know the truth about the Mass. We will value what we have. We will know the truth about the Rosary. We will know the truth about our Blessed Mother and not be brainwashed. We will know the truth about confession. We will know the truth about the saints, Church. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit, for the gift of understanding to enlighten our mind, the spirit of counsel. How many people are contemplating suicide? How many people have committed suicide? And sometimes we can be unaware until it hits our family. I'm saying there's so many people that are hurting. So many people need to be counseled by the Holy Spirit. So many people find themselves on crossroads. There is this beautiful rosary, and the priest in the rosaries makes this prayer that always moves my heart every time I hear it. When we find ourselves on crossroads, when there are important decisions to be made, and we find ourselves confused, that our Blessed Mother will be standing in the middle of the crossroads to point us in the direction in which we should go. You are confused? Call on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will point you in the direction where you should go. You're thinking about changing jobs? Call on the Holy Spirit. You are thinking about migrating? Call on the Holy Spirit. Because if you go where God didn't send you, you're going to be miserable. You can lose your life if you go where God didn't send you. So you always want to be where God wants you. The spirit of fortitude, that I may bear my cross with you and may overcome with courage all the obstacles that oppose my salvation. So I've just gone to visit Deacon Peter. And so I got there, and there was this urge. I got there late at night. And there was an urge in my heart. I need to go and visit Deacon Peter. And so I got to my hotel room, but then there is this urge inside of me. You need to go and see him. Not tomorrow. You need to go tonight. So I called the hospital, and I told them who I was. And there is one of my deacons here. And can I come? The head nurse said, yes, you can. And so I got there, and the security, I don't know, what is my problem with security? I need to pray a novena at security. Asking God to touch security. So I got there, and the security was after 9. He said, visiting time is over. I finished at 9. I said, you know, I didn't make a telephone call. I'm here to see my deacon. And I was wearing my color that time. And he said to me, okay, let me check. Anyhow, they took my photo and all that, and I'm on my way. I was so, and now I'm horrible with direction. He told me the third floor, when you reach up there, is behind the elevator. Turn left, and then, you know, turn right, and then, you know, I got there, and I'm like, you know, and I didn't even knock on this door. I just opened the door. Deacon! And I saw him, and I said to him, and this made me remember one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gift of fortitude, that I will bear my cross. Church, we will all have crosses to carry. We will all have crosses to bear. But I want you to know this morning, God will never give you more than you can bear.
Amen.
Anything, any suffering God has allowed to come your way, in that suffering is the grace to bear it.
Yes, amen.
Because the cross God gives to us will never be more than our strength. The cross that God gives to us will always be measured to our shoulder.
Amen.
The crosses that God gives to us is always perfumed with consolation, that in the midst of us carrying our crosses, we are able to smile.
Yes, amen.
We are able to say, God is good.
Yes.
We are able to say, good morning. Welcome to St. John.
Amen.
I love it. That is God for you. Peter looks so well. He looks so fine. And so the second day, so I'm there, and I anointed him all over. And so the second day, I went to visit him. The nurse came in, and they were about to do something. Change something, and I'm there and I'm not moving. I'm there praying. And they said, well, we could come back. I said, no, you all could do whatever you all have to do. So he said, this is my priest. And I said, yes, I'm not moving. So they attended to him, and I'm there praying. And the nurse said this that really warmed my heart. The male nurse, he said, he is our best patient. So I said, who? What a lot. And the second nurse, she endorsed it. She said, no, true, he is our best patient. And then he looked at me and said, isn't he a leader in your church? And I said, yes, he's a deacon. And I said, he is my best deacon. Oh, hear why I'm telling you this, right? Last night, Vera sent me some food. So Deacon Doorway was here. So Deacon Doorway collected the food and he brought it upstairs for me. So I'm there, oh, deacon, you know, I'm there, you know, thank you so much for the food. Thank you so much for the food. And then I look at him and I said, you are my best deacon. I said, Lord, I have to go to confession again. But I thought of Peter, I thought of that. That Lord, that this man is sick, seriously sick. And he's touching lives, lying there. He's smiling, lying there. His wife and himself, what a great witness they are. The doctors are saying this is the best couple in Cleveland because Bianca is feeding Peter water in a spoon. And with loving eyes, they're like, what's going on here? Isn't that something? Well, that is what God meant for all of us.
Yes.
Wherever we are, wherever we go, that we will represent whom? God. That we will, people will say, there goes a woman of God. There goes a man of God. Wherever you are, not just in church, not just Sunday morning, not just 9:30, but every day, 24/7,
amen.
We represent God.
Amen. Amen.